I agreed to do this episode, didn't I?
Yes. I don't know what episode this is.
I'd assume it's...
I think it's Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Back together for the first time again. Back together with my co-host Ryan. That's Ryan. Movies I'm Dave. Yeah. I'm Dave. I forgot to introduce myself. We are Movies On Up. Our tagline for this week, back together for the first time again.
I think we're doing this for the first time.
Yeah. We'll get to hang out. 4 more years and I'll get it down. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter @moviesonup. Let us know, and if we pick you, you'll win a lovely prize package.
A pitchin' prize package.
This is our Valentine's Day special episode. Every year we try to do a special Valentine's Day episode. I think right. 2 years ago it was our 10 favorite Anna Kendrick movies.
Sure.
Last year was Rocket Science.
Was that for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Wow, how quickly a year goes by.
Yeah, so this year it's Pitch Perfect too.
Yeah, why not?
We've done a Pitch Perfect episode,
I believe.
Probably. I think when this movie came out, we did a Pitch Perfect episode.
I mean, it would surprise me if we hadn't.
Yeah.
If we haven't, I'm sorry, spoiler alerts, we're going to talk a lot about the sequel here today.
Yeah, so this is our Pitch Perfect 2 episode. It is Valentine's Day, so it's time to celebrate Anna Kendrick.
Really? I mean, there's not just one day to do that.
But, no. You know. No, but this is the one where we can justify doing a random Anna Kendrick movie. And I hadn't watched Pitch Perfect 2, so I figured, hey, this will make me watch it.
Was this your first viewing of the film?
It was.
Wow.
I'm not a sequel guy. Like, as much as I love the first one, like, Hangover. I love The Hangover.
As far as I know, Anna Kendrick does not appear in The Hangover 2 or 3. Is that correct?
I haven't watched them.
Yeah, but I don't think so. So
yeah, so like as much as I love the first one, I just have this type of sequel I don't get into, where Pitch Perfect wasn't a tentpole. That wasn't made to launch a franchise.
Right.
Movies like Lethal Weapon or comic book movies or stuff that are planned out to be sequels, I'm okay with those. It's the cash grab sequels. But I thought, you know what? Kay Cannon's back. Elizabeth Banks making her directorial debut because Jason Moore's not doing it, but he's on as a producer. The original cast is back. So I thought, is this a cash grab sequel? Maybe it'll have everything that the first one had.
I do feel like it's like they kind of had to do it. The first movie made a surprising amount of money. And I think even more surprising was the success that it found, like, on DVD. It sort of became culty, I guess. And it felt like Pitch Perfect was, like, the little movie that could. It's an a cappella movie. Like, what's really going to be the interest in this? And Pitch Perfect 2 seemed like it's the little movie that should, because of the success of the first one. A bit like you were saying, is it a cash grab? I mean, really, all sequels, if we're being honest, are cash grabs. The first one makes a lot of money. The second one gets greenlit. Ergo, you're trying to grab more cash.
There's different ways to do it. Hangover 2, the fact that I've compared this movie to Hangover 2 twice
in the first five minutes
of the episode. But then you look at sequels like Gremlins 2, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. You're making a sequel, but you're not making the same movie again. And those are both movies where they were made, I don't think, with future installments in mind. So when the opportunity comes to make another one, you could have made Gremlins again. You could have put a different small town. You could have done the same movie again. Bill and Ted, you could have had them in college have to do another report. You could have made the same movie again.
I'm not sure Bill and Ted were exactly college material.
They aced that whatever the plot of the first movie was. I mean, you could have just done the same thing, and they didn't. And Pitch Perfect 2 did, essentially.
We talked about cash grab, so I guess let's talk about how much cash it did grab. It was released in May of last year, May 15th. Did open up number one that weekend with almost $70 million. It was $24 million ahead of apparently one of the best movies of the year. More on that in 2 weeks. Yes, Mad Max in its opening week. It was in front of the Avengers, probably in its, I don't know, sixth or seventh week, somewhere in there. Yeah. Somewhere. Hot Pursuit and Furious 7 was the rest of the top five. I just like that snapshot. I know it's not fair, as all those movies had been out for a while, but that's right, Pitch Perfect 2 in front of Mad Max, nominated for Best Picture, Avengers, which is one of the highest grossing films of all time, and Furious 7, which is a ridiculously...
Also one of the highest grossing movies.
Certainly, yeah, and that franchise in and of itself is kind of a monster. It went on to gross $184.2 million, which should probably be a signal to you. I mean, it's past signal now. I mean, Pitch Perfect 3 is in the works. I believe they just put out a release date for it maybe about a month ago or so at the time we record this. August next year, I think, somewhere around there. 184 million puts it 189th place all time domestically. Dave, can you guess the movie directly above it? One spot above it, this Disney film from 1937.
Snow White.
It is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Just one spot above PP2, and one spot below PP2 is a movie featuring not Kevin Costner's pee-pee, but his butt.
Waterworld? Or no, The Postman. Or Dances with Wolves.
Yes, that's the one. Although, I'm not going to rule out, because he did like take a piss off the side of the boat or something.
And drank it.
Yeah, and drank it. That's right. Cause
he peed into a filtration system and then drank it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that. So.
Well,
I've never seen Waterworld.
Oh.
But I know that he peed into a filtration
system. Well, yeah, that's really
system.
Strange. And I've seen the movie and I remember that scene for whatever reason. Maybe it's because I have some kind of fixation with Kevin Costner's ass. But... there you have it, Pitch Perfect 2, right in the middle of one of the all-time Disney classics, and what was a pretty successful movie from 1990.
But
did
about,
not spawn a sequel.
But about this movie. Tell me about your expectations going in and your thoughts immediately after. You haven't rewatched it. You saw it in theaters over the summer.
I did. I saw it in theaters.
How's it sat
opening
with
weekend,
you?
I think.
How's it sat with you?
This movie, I think, was always in some trouble. You like what I did there? I really liked the first movie. I was surprised how much I liked it. It's an Anna Kendrick movie, so I knew I was going to see it. I don't end up loving them all. Despite how we fawn all over the girl, I don't love all of her movies. Some of them are really, really good. Some of them, maybe not so much. Pitch Perfect, I thought was going to be one of the latter. But I ended up liking it. And I kind of went into the second one thinking, I don't really know how they're going to make a sequel, but... I like the first one, so I'll give this one a try, and I'll like it. I think it was always sort of set up to let me down a little bit, and it did. I still had a good time watching it. There were parts that made me laugh, but it wasn't great.
Here's how I look at it. The Hangover 2 comparisons are a little too harsh. I love Pitch Perfect. I think it's a fantastic movie. I think it's just a lot of fun. I think there are really good jokes in there. I think everybody has used the perfect amount. I liked Pitch Perfect 2. Not like, oh, I really liked Pitch Perfect 2, or I liked Pitch Perfect 2. I watched it. I don't regret that moment in my life. I felt it was a lot different.
For me, one of the things that was the biggest difference was the music. And for whatever reason, and it's
not
largely
as fun.
Right. I was going to say that's probably a matter of opinion. And maybe it's just because I've listened to the Pitch Perfect soundtrack about a million times.
I know it like the back of my hand.
Hell yeah.
Singing to me.
I really liked the songs and the arrangements from the first one. And the second one just didn't, I guess I just didn't like the music as much. And this is music is a huge part of the movie.
Here's a big problem with that, though.
Except the Snoop Dogg song. I liked that.
The music wasn't as fun, but you also had less treble makers.
Yes.
So the variety wasn't there as much. You had...
the Germans.
You had the DSM, Das Sound Machine. And Bart and Bella's were going through a rough time, so they weren't at their peak. So, I mean, you're setting yourself up to not have as good of a soundtrack.
They weren't at their peak, certainly, at the beginning of the first movie. You know what I mean? Like after
the
vomit
they grew
incident,
into it.
And... sure. But, I mean, I even liked the old Bella's routine with the Ace of Base more so than I liked most of what they were doing. Certainly more than I liked their big finishing number.
The original flashlight song. This movie did a lot poorly that the first one did great. Jesse, I don't know if he was too busy filming that sitcom that takes place in an elevator or whatever it is he's doing now. Was he there? Was he on set for more than a day and a half?
Yeah, it did feel like I know this is a movie about the girls, and I'm fine with that, but it seems like they were relegated to absolutely like...
But
hey, remember these dudes? Well, they're not dead.
Jesse was so good in the first one, and I really liked him as
their chemistry was good.
It's him as a male lead in a romantic comedy, which we'll call it that, was really, really good. And his chemistry with Anna Kendrick was great.
Yeah.
You don't really get that in this one. It seriously felt like he showed up for 2 days and then left because Benji was focused on a lot more, his buddy.
Yeah.
And I hate that character. Every time Benji came on the screen, I had no interest in what's going on. I'm tired of the trope of guy can't talk around pretty girl. Like, get over it. Like, who's laughing at that still? Like,
to be honest, I had sort of forgotten about that love aspect. I mean, the Fat Amy bumper thing, I liked that. But there again, by kind of removing the trebles, which obviously bumper's not really associated with anymore, it felt like the movie could have used more bumper, much in the way that the first movie could have actually used more Fat Amy.
See, I'm almost a little different. I thought the first movie utilized bumper exceptionally well. You didn't get sick of him.
Right, I believe that.
And I believe Fat Amy was used perfectly. I thought she was utilized to where you almost got too much of her, but you didn't. This one, they cranked it up a little bit. I just don't feel that Fat Amy and Bumper were as interesting in this movie. I don't feel like any of the characters were as interesting in this movie. Maybe it's because I like the underdog aspect of the first one, but like, you kick 3 years later, and now they're the main people in the a cappella scene. Like, they're three-time national champs. Like, they really don't have anything to lose. They've accomplished so much and since the first movie that I don't really care. Like, if they lose, like, whatever, they have three national championships.
I guess I agree that, like you said, it's hard to kind of ratchet it up, like, in typical sequel style where they kind of, the stakes get higher. It's now worlds. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed completely irrelevant because that was never addressed in the first one, that there was anything past nationals. I guess I almost didn't even really care so much about what ended up happening.
It was an afterthought.
I mean, some of the things that they did in the movie about the whole thing with Becca trying to have a job and keeping it from the other girls because she was trying to move on and they're still kind of stuck in the past. Like, I thought that was a pretty decent theme. Some of the newer stuff they did, the riff off with David Cross, like, I loved that. Could have liked it a lot more, but it did seem like the climax of the movie was largely irrelevant.
Because insanely irrelevant.
Now that they're the world champions, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek in and of itself. They're the world champions of a cappella, as if, like, that's a thing. As if as many people that were in the crowd would give a shit about that if there actually were. And maybe there is.
There
I don't know.
Is.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The rest of the teams, I mean, there was really, we kind of got to know the other teams in the first one. And even when there were the sock puppet people, they had a clever name, which I can't remember now.
You only had DSM and
Bellas. Yeah. It just seemed like an us versus them the whole time. And much like the Troublemakers were sort of an afterthought, so were any other possible teams. It was really only going to be one or the other.
I did like the riff off. I did like the Reggie Watts and Joe Latruglia and Jason Jones. Like, I liked them. The Green Bay Packers, I liked it. I thought they went for it.
And truthfully, that's one of the biggest problems I have with this movie is the marketing that was put behind it. You know, when we were watching the NBA playoffs last year, this movie was rammed down your throat. And it was done with the Green Bay Packers, which could have been a great reveal. Yeah. I don't know if seeing Clay Matthews and the offensive line really drug any dude in to see this movie.
It would have been a really great surprise. And plus, it's hard to... It came out in the same summer that LeBron and John Cena stole every scene they were in a big comedy. Whereas I thought Bumper and Fat Amy were kind of somewhat overused a little bit. I like the Fat Amy and Becca scenes. The scene where she's trying to give her confidence, I thought was funny. That made me laugh. But John Michael Higgins and Elizabeth Banks, they were used the perfect amount.
Yeah, they were really good.
They were used a little bit more than in the first one. And it starts off to where you think they're going to use them too much because they're right. I mean, they're exposition right out of the gate. Like, they're basically, they're the narrators to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, in more ways than one, like they come out and they're exactly what they're laying out the plot, but then they go away for a while. The two of them together is really good.
This is the most significant conflict between the U.S. and Germany yes, of all time.
Yes, I thought you were going to say gay. The two of them together is really, really good.
I like Keegan-Michael Key a lot.
And that's what my next point was. I mean, that dude, everything he's in, he steals every scene he's in. He was so good in the first half of his part.
Yeah.
And then just kind of tapered off at the end. But him and Dax, any scenes where he's berating Dax, he's just so funny. And he's so perfect for that role. And even the end scene where he wasn't being funny, he was really good. And he's a movie star. Like, Keegan-Michael Key is going to be, I think very soon, one of the biggest movie stars we have. Because he's going to make that transition because he's phenomenal in everything he's in. David Cross's little cameo, I enjoyed.
We know we're going to get a Pitch Perfect 3, and it is my hope that somehow David Cross shows up in this one again, and he's moved this competition from the underground to, like, it's way over the top and extravagant. Like, I could, as ridiculous as the Worlds was, where they had, you know, like, the Pentatonics and, like, everybody, and I kind of like that, the journey montage they did there in the different languages, but like, as over the top as that was, and that's supposed to be serious, if that was being hosted by David Cross, I would buy it as just complete ridiculousness. Of course you'd have commentary teams there, of course, like, it would be this giant spectacle because he's so weird and his character was so strange. That is just my hope for Pitch Perfect 3, because I'm not sure, like, where do you go from there? Like, do you go to universe? Like, are we gonna have intergalactic?
And that's why they brought Haley Steinfeld in, which we haven't talked about yet. They brought her in to be the freshman, like Becca and Fat Amy were in the first one, and I guess the whole team, because the whole team was back 3 years later,
except for
Anna Camp.
Yeah,
Anna Camp is the only one that graduated. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know how much you can keep going back to that well. Like, I would think you got to stray a little bit and have them teach inner city kids to acapella or something. You have to do something. I get adding Haley Steinfeld. I thought she was good enough.
Yeah, I thought her character was fine. And
but I don't know that she added enough to warrant adding. She almost felt shoehorned in there a little bit.
It almost felt like they knew at the end that they wanted to have this cross the streams moment, which would be doing an original song at an acapella thing. And they're like, all right, well, who's going to write this song? Okay, we'll invent a character. And then because she has to write the song, like, she has to be, you know, kind
of. The girl grew up, though.
Yeah.
From True Grit.
Yeah, right.
She's like a woman now. That's weird.
Oh, this is going to get real creepy.
No, it's just she's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, she's very
she's
tall.
She's like a giant. I mean, she was good. Katie Sagal, she's just decent in everything she's in. Like,
that was kind of a cool angle with her being like,
a legacy. Yeah. I mean, it had its moments. I don't feel the jokes were as good, but that's kind of unfair because I've seen Pitch Perfect dozens of times. I've seen Pitch Perfect once 2 days ago. Well, yeah. 16 days ago by now. None of the jokes really stood out to me. They're really good one-liners and good jokes in the first one. And in this one, not a lot.
Yeah, I think
there's laughs, but there's no, like,
and some of the laughs, I think, were more, like, gaggy type things.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of the writing.
Wasn't as quick. It wasn't as witty.
Yeah, the gags were like, oh, let's watch the Packers do Bootylicious, which, you know, I guess
I really
funny.
Misjudged the size of this lake.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were gaggy, like, slapstick kind of things. And, you know, like, obviously, like, Fat Amy, like, mooning Obama, that's kind of a gaggy gag. So the humor was definitely different in this movie. It just seemed, in every way, kind of a watered down version of the first one.
Yeah.
Which is still, I mean, it's still good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You have a fine, fine whiskey and you have some ice that melts in it. Like, it's still a good drink.
Maybe I'm not being fair. Maybe when it comes on the TV and I watch it another couple dozen times, maybe I will hold it as high as I do PP, but I don't know. Right now, PP2, I like it.
Spinning this forward, how does this affect your excitement level about PP3? Because you seem pretty apathetic.
I'm not a sequel guy for these kind of movies. You know, I sat on Magic Mike XXL, too. Like, I didn't rush out to see it despite loving Magic Mike. So I guess it's going to be dependent on the trailer. If it comes out and it's just another Pitch Perfect movie, like, I'll see it eventually. But
you'll
see it
next Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
To Valentine's Day of 2018?
That's too far away. But if they're doing something different, like if they go to hell and have to fight robot versions of themselves, like with the Grim Reaper on their side, I'll see it. Like if they do something that's not the same, I'll see it. I'd like to see them open it up to more groups. Ultimately, what I kind of wanted from this was a Bella's Troublemaker.
They get together.
To team up.
Yeah.
But I get the girl power aspect of it.
They don't need no man.
Yeah, I want more variety in the next one, I guess.
Again, if they shift kind of that humor back to what I like, what you like, those quick one-liners as opposed to, like, we're just going to make Fat Amy like Chris Farley, and that's the kind of movie we're going to do. And I love those movies, and I do like physical comedy. But I don't think that's where the first movie... There was a giant vomit scene, and that's physical comedy. But that's not what they relied on. If they could go back to... And that's what's so good about like the Elizabeth Banks scenes, is because they are just... It's strictly verbal.
Am I bored with the characters? Is that... I mean...
I'll never get bored with Becca.
Anna Kendrick... Becca goes to college. She meets this great guy. She turns around this legendary a cappella group. They go on to win 3 national titles in a row. She gets an internship and wows her music producer who thinks she's on the same level as him. And she produces a hit song and she wins worlds. Like everything falls in line for her. Where do you go from there? Everything has worked for her.
Do you think she needs to develop like a meth addiction?
Something. Or Jesse needs to fall in an elevator and die or something. I don't know if...
Why does he have to die? Because I get the feeling like she really wouldn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
She'd find a handsomer dude.
Where was he?
He was in the crowd holding lighters or whatever they were
flashlights.
Doing. Flashlights.
Like, I do want to look up. I wonder if he had conflicts because he wasn't there. For being such a big part of the first movie and being her boyfriend by this point of 3.5 years.
Well, she's tired of him, I guess. So, I mean, it's real. After 3 years, you know, the lady doesn't keep you around as much. She didn't give a shit.
I just don't get it.
She wants you to take the trash out, and that's about it.
I miss Pitch Perfect 1.
Well, the good thing is, like, you can still watch it. It's on DVD. Find retailers everywhere.
I hold Pitch Perfect and Stomp the Yard are, like, two movies that I'll always compare because I love both of these movies. I would say I liked Stomp the Yard 2 Homecoming better than I liked Pitch Perfect 2. No subtitle.
No subtitle necessary. That's a troubling statement. But
troubling?
Yes. I'm afraid I can't leave our Pitch Perfect 2 discussion on such a flat note. So I would like to say, if you had to compare Pitch Perfect 2 and the movie that we're going to talk about next week, I gotta feel like that puts Pitch Perfect in a little bit of a better light, as next week we have the Spellbinding 1996 Jam, The Craft, yes,
oh, yeah.
Which you've already forgotten about.
I did. I forgot that we're recording that next week.
Yes.
Winky sound.
So that is what we have coming up for you next week. I'm sure it'll be an amazing episode full of the energy and wit that you've come to expect from Movies On Up episode featuring a movie that neither Dave or I particularly like.
You can tell when I forget that I'm supposed to be hosting an episode when you just jump in to wrap it up.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty much every episode you host. But at any rate, that's what we've got next week, and it's when I'm tired of whatever. You're disinterested, and I'm tired, so I'm like, it's time to get out of this one. So if that doesn't enthuse you about coming back next week and checking out our discussion of the Andrew Fleming Jam, The Craft, I don't know what will. But until then,
keep it up.
Pitches.